910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Once again, thousands of people are protesting on the streets of Israel against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war in Gaza. With the latest on ceasefire negotiations, ABC's Marcus Moore is in Tel Aviv.
U.S. officials are still determined to get a ceasefire deal, saying that President Biden is personally involved in the negotiations. But one of the major obstacles is Israel's refusal to fully withdraw its troops from Gaza's border with Egypt. But a new draft of the U.S. bridging proposal is expected to be presented to all of the sides in the coming days.
Justice Department unsealing an indictment this week charging six Hamas members, three of them dead, with terrorism. Among those still alive, Hamas's political chief, Yahya Sinwar, who is believed to have been a key architect of the October 7th attacks. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump prepping for their first presidential debate. It will be held 6 days from now on ABC News. And a damning report blaming government and industry-leading failures in the Grenfell fire in London back in 2017. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's visit to Southwest Wisconsin this week is part of his effort to highlight his administration's Investing in America agenda. He's hitting the blue wall battleground states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. He's talking about efforts to build infrastructure and lower health care and energy costs. About 50,000 older people in Wisconsin can expect big savings on their prescriptions next year. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials to sometimes cover the cost.
David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A $1 million road construction project is scheduled to get underway in Superior this week. According to Mayor Jim Payne, the city is looking to stabilize Tower Avenue just south of 28th Street with concrete repairs before the cold weather puts a halt on construction. The construction is also part of a larger project planned for the section of road between Belknap Street and 28th Street next year. It was originally planned for 2027 or 2028, but Mayor Payne says the timeline was moved because he doesn't think it can wait any longer. The home of a Sawyer County family suffered serious damage when a car barreled through the wall last week. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, the vehicle left the highway it was driving on and crashed into the home at a high rate of speed, and the driver allegedly did not stop at the intersection of State Highway 27 and Fun Valley Road. Three people in the home, including two kids, suffered minor injuries and were taken to the hospital for treatment. The driver also suffered minor injuries, and the crash is under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Quarterback Jordan Love is ready to get to work this Friday night.
I think everybody is very hungry, and I think the message this year is for us to go out and start fast, you know, not have any late season runs, you know, start out fast and, you know, kind of put people on notice for what we're going to do this year and what we're going to be about.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got three runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms late. Our low mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thundershowers in the low 70s. And then a little taste of fall with highs in the 60s by Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Sarah Anderson from the Global Economy Project. We're going to be talking about CEO pay. Next up on The Maggie and the Millionaires at 3 p.m. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. The one and only Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action is on board. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Earl?
It was so good to see you on Monday. Hadn't seen you physically in a long time.
Yeah, did you get any kind of good interviews or anything there? We were both at Labor Fest where Tim Walz, the governor called him Tom Walz, was speaking.
You know, I can tell you that I got great interviews. I just played an interview with Bruce Colborn. And I just wanted people to know that Dr. Craig is a man in his 80s. Who's still fighting.
Dr. Colborn.
Yeah, Bruce Colborn. What did I say? Dr. Craig? Colborn, who's
not
still.
Yet.
you hope to get there, right?
Hopefully.
But he's still fighting the battle. And as I interviewed him and we talked about the fact that he helped create Labor Fest. And he was at the first Labor Fest. And Dr. Craig, it just goes to tell you how long the battle is. And it's never a race. It's always a protracted struggle when you're fighting for people and rights.
I did not know that Bruce created Labor Fest, but he was a very powerful president of the Milwaukee Area Labor Council for years, so it would make sense. I just wasn't sure it was during Bruce's period of leadership. Apparently it was. Not a surprise, just didn't know that particular fact. Bruce has been a lifer. He started out as a bus driver.
Yes.
And a union member, the Amalgamated Transit Workers Union, and then moved to the Milwaukee Labor Council. They worked for the National AFL-CIO, and then he has ended his career with SEIU for the most part, though he consults and works with a lot of people. But I'm just saying his, you know, professional union life.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, I was talking to the audience about the fact that only 10% of this nation is unionized. And the frightening thing about that, Dr. Craig, is after all of these battles over the decades, still only 10% of the nation is unionized. What does it say, Dr. Craig, at the height, I think might've been 20% of the nation was unionized, but what does it say that we're down to 10%?
It was over 25%.
Oh, 25%.
once you're at that level, you're setting the wage. So a lot of other non-union employers paid a union scale to avoid losing all their workers to a union or being, you know, being unionized. So once you're at that level of what they call density of unions, in other words, percentage of workers in them, it raises all the boats. And it's one of the primary reasons when we had much greater union density that we had much more equal distribution of the gains in our society, the economic growth. And since they were attacked and have declined, we've had a very disproportionate share going almost entirely to the wealthiest Americans. And the result has been rising income inequality as bad as before the labor movement during the infamous Gilded Age of the late 19th century. And it's not because workers decided, this is the myth, Earl. Workers decided they didn't want unions anymore. They didn't like unions. That'd be one thing, like they don't like 8-track tapes, right? Or some consumer product, right? One that, you know, went by the wayside. No, traditional answering machines where you can hear them, you know, and make the clunky sound. My mother still has one, so I have to deal with one. But she's in her 80s. So the laws were changed. The system was rigged. And just so people understand it, because it used to be so many families knew unions, had an uncle or aunt, if not their parents, not their brothers and sisters in unions understood this. Now people are more can be propagandized more because they don't have union experience. But it's rigged, just like Democrats couldn't win a majority in the state legislature when they rigged the maps after the 2010 election. It's the same thing. They've made it so hard to join a union and given the employer so many rights to violate the law, basically oppress people, fire them, intimidate them, etc., for trying to form a union and having really onerous rules for how to get even an election and how long it takes and what kind of pressure and fear tactics are used, what union busting attorneys do. It's very much a propaganda campaign, worse than what you see in the worst fear you see in television and in political ads. And they make it very, very hard. And then they structure the company. So yeah, you have this brave fight by the Starbucks workers, which is amazing, against huge odds, with huge amounts of resources put in by a big company against them. But they have to organize each and every little shop.
Right.
And in the meantime, they try to turn over the workers so that the election is overturned or it doesn't happen because the workers are all forced out. And so they've organized, you know, I think we're getting close to 100 Starbucks locations, which is a very small percentage of them. There are thousands of them. But it's going to take them 80 years at this rate. What happened in the 1930s under FDR and the New Deal was they gave workers the right to form a union if they wanted to. And know what the research shows? Nearly 70% of workers want a union. So that's why it was talked about at Labor Fest. We need to pass the Protect the Right to Organize Act, which is not everything we need, but goes a long way, just like the Fair Maps decision the state Supreme Court made, to creating a fair system where workers who want a union can get a union. And it's supposed to be their Democrat choice. But what the courts have done over the years, the right-wing courts, is given the employers the right to suppress unions, like they have equal rights in the decisions. Really, it's a Democratic organization of unions. It has nothing to do with the company, and it should be entirely their choice without interference, coercion, or firing the things they do.
You know, Dr. Craig, the National Labor Relations Board, we have to say this because it's absolutely true. If we weren't telling the truth, then people should call and correct us. But it is the Republicans who have done everything within their power to dismantle unions. And yet, even to this day, part of what Trump and Republicans are attempting to do is dismantle the NLRB. And so when people don't understand that, Dr. Craig, because only 10% of the Americans, are engaged and involved in this, these people have done such tremendous damage, the Republicans, in destroying unions. I remember when the Republicans went after unions, because they said the Democrats was giving too much money. I mean, the unions were giving too much money to the Democrats. And when it came to elections, so they set out on a course to destroy unions because they said the Democrats were getting too much money from unions. Am I correct in that, Dr. Craig?
Yeah, and I haven't seen them trying to destroy corporations because corporations give too much money to the Republicans,
right?
You'll notice the disparity. It's why they tried to destroy unions here in Wisconsin. What Act 10 did, which may be overturned fairly soon by the state Supreme Court by early next year, if it stays on track. And so, yeah, and but you have this pathetic attempt of Trump and J.D. Vance trying to say they're the workers' tribunes and representatives, and Trump holding a counter rally to a UAW rally for Joe Biden at a non-union scab employer that had a captive situation where they brought workers in to stand there under the boss's management. Look, they side with the boss, and there's another big threat. The NLRB is better or worse based on administration. This has been the best National Labor Relations Board, don't want to fall into the acronym problem, Earl, in decades, because Joe Biden really has been the most pro-union president in decades. But it's still underfunded, and a whole lot of the precedents are bad. That's why we need to protect the Right to Organize Act. But there's another big threat. The Supreme Court decision, there's so many in this session, it was so radical, that some of them get lost under the immunity one and the Chevron one that takes away a lot of administrative power. They also overturned the Federal Trade Commission's ability to have administrative solutions to problems that don't go to court, you know, basically kind of federal arbitration. And so that may now be applied to the National Labor Relations Board and make everything take forever. It has to go to federal court, which takes forever. We're seeing that with Trump. And particularly when you have well-funded defendants, in this case, corporations trying to avoid unions, and where you have all the Trump judges to change the law, change the Constitution to fit right-wing doctrine and power and their power incentives and demands.
You know, Dr. Craig, the more than anything else, the thing that's troubling and perplexing to me is there's only 10% of the population that knows anything. I shouldn't say knows anything about unions, but that benefit from unions. And so such a large percentage of the population is not in the fight for unions because it's not something in their lexicon. And so because of that, the more I was thinking on this and thinking about it, Dr. Craig, is how are we going to get the other 90% of those who are working and in many instances being taken advantage of to understand that the unions are the outlet, they're the opportunity for them to be able to build wealth and to be able to do some other things. We'll let you respond on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my co-host, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action and you.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. As now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, do know what I say is true.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So before we went to break, Dr. Craig, I was posing the question, since 90% of the American people aren't engaged and involved in unions, I just think, Dr. Craig, that they don't understand the power and the value of unions. And there's this force that is working very hard. After my generation is gone, Dr. Craig, that number is really going to drop. And it's a major battle that the employees of this nation are going to face in the near future without having, you know, access to unions.
I think you'll have heroic victories where particular leaders and particular groups, like the group, the Amazon Warehouse Group out in the New York City area, did, that there are breakthroughs, right? Individual Starbucks stores. But I don't think it's because workers won't join unions. The polling shows record.
No, I'm saying I don't think they really, in many instances, really understand the inner workings of it. But go ahead, sir.
Well, they don't, but that individual workers will learn about other work sites organizing if we restore the right to organize. So the big breakthroughs in the 30s occurred after we actually established the right of workers whenever they choose to form a union. And that's when there was the explosion that led to over a quarter of the workforce being union, the rest of the workforce benefiting from what unions right. negotiated. And so that'll happen again. If we pass the Protect the Right to Organize Act, which would have passed under the first 2 years of President Biden if it wasn't for both Manchin and Sinema and the filibuster. In other words, the Republicans will filibuster it. And we have this ridiculous non-constitutional norm that now you need 60% of an already minority Senate, where Wyoming has as many senators as California, and the Dakotas combined have double the number of senators of California or New York or other Florida, other major states. So you have minority upon minority. It's a ridiculous thing, never intended by the framers of the Constitution. And so, I have to tell you, I mean, Tim Walz is more conversant in labor than any presidential or vice presidential candidate I've heard in a long time. When I've heard him at Labor Fest,
he was great. He was great.
Allies of labor who are Democratic politicians, they kind of sound like they're reading talking points. They don't fully understand labor, but they're supportive of it. I mean, almost all of them, including Joe Biden, actually. But Walz, clearly, he'd be a former union member, the union teacher, understood it and taught the language. I know there have been politicians in the past. I can't remember someone near the top of a ticket that converse in organized labor and that good at talking to a labor crowd, which is tremendous. And Kamala Harris has repeated, and she did it, the Detroit Labor Day celebration and the huge Pittsburgh one, which is the biggest one, she did both, reiterated that she will pass to Protect the Right to Organize Act. The PRO Act is how it's shortened. And so That doesn't do everything we need, but it's like the fairer maps we got from the Supreme Court. It would open things up. And let me add one other thing to it. It'll diversify the labor movement. The number of young, remember, the younger generations are the most diverse in American history, right?
Yes.
And so it'll be a new labor movement. It'll be like the breath of fresh air that the CIO was in the 1930s and 40s. And you all of a sudden have this strong, energetic, very multiracial, multigenerational labor movement across all these industries. You haven't seen unions, because where the unions still are is in legacy industries where there was an established precedent. And that's partly why some Democrats, like Bill Clinton, sided with Republicans and did free trade, corporate free trade agreements that allowed the outshoring of all the great union manufacturing jobs that were the great victory of the whole post-World War II era of workers when they had a right to organize unfettered.
You know, Dr. Craig, I couldn't help, as I was preparing for today's show, and Eric Hovde, here's a prime example. He's both a fund manager and an individual investor. Eric Hovde, the Republican Senate nominee in Wisconsin, put millions of dollars into three companies that ship jobs out of Wisconsin in favor of cheaper locations. Hovde, a co-founder and former CEO of the asset management firm Hovde Capital Advisors, is challenging Senator Tammy Baldwin in November. And so as I was reading on, Dr. Craig, and looking more, Eric Hovde is gaining ground and is almost even or leading Senator Tammy Baldwin. And I couldn't help but ask the question, why? How can it possibly be that people in this state don't understand what he did and what he's doing and the difference between the guy who takes jobs out of the country and you vote yes for him, and somebody else who's fighting to keep jobs? Dr. Craig, I'll never understand that.
It's because of disinformation, because the Supreme Court is deciding it's non-wisdom that rich people can spend all they want in elections, and therefore he can spend a lot more money than a sitting U.S. senator who works her tail off, Tammy Baldwin. And so... that's the situation, and he's going to probably run. It won't be like Tammy Baldwin's last two elections. It actually were very good elections for Democrats, 2012 and 2018. This one is more mixed. I think that Tammy will run, and Kamala Harris in Wisconsin run very close, and it's going to be a 1 or 2 vote, percent race. And I think that she can win it, but we can't take it for granted. I think people have gotten a little bit complacent because she won so overwhelmingly in those two very Democratic years, 2012 and 2018. And it's going to come back to the norm. And I don't know how good that polling is, Earl. I can't cite we have access to some non-public polling. And I've seen better non-public polling, but it's not better enough to make me feel confident, Earl. It just means that I'm not sure he's really caught up to her, but he's certainly within range. And that's scary given who this man is.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789 is the number. It is Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Social work professor Craig Burns says people shouldn't hesitate to contact campaign staffers as they make up their minds who to vote for.
Let the candidate know you're a voter in their district, and that'll kind of perk up their ears a little bit.
Burns says websites like vote411.org provide a comprehensive, nonpartisan breakdown of where candidates stand on key issues. A marathon swimmer is trying to cross Lake Michigan again. Jim Dreyer tried a few weeks ago, but his GPS malfunctioned and he accidentally got off course. He left the Michigan shore Monday night and hopes to make it to Milwaukee later this week. He actually made it across the Big Lake one other time more than 25 years ago in 1998. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has determined a cause after over 1,000 fish turned up dead along Tisher Creek earlier this summer. According to the agency, the fish were killed after the city of Duluth drained about 1.7 million gallons of chloraminated water from the Woodland Reservoir over 15 hours. The drainage was part of a maintenance operation on the drinking water system. Officials are analyzing more samples collected from various locations to determine next steps and recovery time for the fish. The Duluth Transit Authority celebrated the one-year anniversary of the Better Bus Blueprint on Friday. According to a Northern News Now report, officials implemented the blueprint in the hopes that it would streamline transit in the Twin Ports area, and they say they've seen a lot of improvement. After the first year of the plan, the Transit Authority saw a 15% increase in riders on Saturday and a 50% increase in riders on Sunday. Total ridership was up about 11%, and there was a 10% bump in miles of service. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, just like back-to-school stuff hitting the shelves in July, it's not too early to start thinking about horror films as we start our crawl toward Halloween. Prime Video just added several new scary films to its roster, including what's been called a gem from 2009 called Drag Me to Hell, starring Alison Lohman and Justin Long. Lohman's character has a curse put on her, sending her perfect life into upheaval. Speaking of Justin Long, he is in another scary flick called Barbarian that is worth a check out as well. Another scary movie getting pretty big hype was just acquired by Netflix. New Life is an indie film from the UK that is not a Netflix original, but dropped on the streamer last weekend. It's a thriller that is pulling a 93% score on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is hovering around 70%, which probably means there is a surprise ending. This will be the place for all your recommendations leading up to Halloween. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms late. Our low mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thundershowers in the low 70s. And then a little taste of fall with highs in the 60s by Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Ark, Godfrey, Nautique, Kanda, Shore Station, and Pure Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at roundlakemarina.com.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Paid for by Wisconsin DOT.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back on the home court in Green Bay and welcome the hilarious comedian and Wisconsin native Mary Mack. And from HBO's hit show Hacks, actress Rose Abdu joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Someone found the letter you wrote me on the radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, I wanted Calvin to play this latest, what do you call that thing, Calvin? What is that, a...
It's an ad from a super PAC.
Yeah, an ad from a super PAC, and it's from George Conway. And this is all of the men that worked with Donald Trump while he was the president of the United States, giving a warning to the American people, Dr. Craig. Very powerful ad. Calvin, if you would, please.
Hey, Donald.
Governor Chris Sununu called Trump crazy, but he's...
All your friends, all the people that have worked with you...
He's a very, very flawed man.
They all think you're nuts.
The man cannot tell the truth, but he combines it with being a narcissist.
He's a populist, authoritarian narcissist.
Donald Trump is not fit to be president of the United States.
Our country can't be a therapy session for a troubled man like
Governor
this.
Sununu called Trump crazy and said if he was in a mental institution, he wouldn't get out.
Turn over the nuclear codes of the United States to an erratic individual.
That's a serious character issue.
He constantly engages in reckless conduct.
He goes and he starts to say these wacky things.
But he's not fit to be president of the United States.
A consummate narcissist.
A narcissist at a level I don't think this country's ever
Donald
seen.
Trump's literally insane. And I think people are scared of him, and they should be scared of him.
Wholly unfit to be president of the United States in every way you can think of.
Every way you can think of.
Learn more at psychopac.org.
So, Dr. Craig, that wasn't Earl Ingram or Dr. Craig in being interviewed or saying those things. That was Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, and many of the other powerful, powerful people who have been around Donald Trump and are sending a message, a warning, to the American people. Do you think it matters?
I think it matters at the margins. It ought to matter more than that. That is, there is this group of Republicans, former Republicans, Republican leading independents, where this kind of validation helps. It is amazing how much of the Republican base, though, over the years has been inured to actual facts. I mean, Hannah Arendt, the great writer on fascism in Europe and in Germany, said that once you have movements that are completely detached from facts, that's the first step to authoritarianism. And that's what we have, because can you name, Earl, another politician of either party, like one who could like win a nomination and be their standard bearer, who have worked with him and are in his own party, major leaders, his former cabinet officials and staff, say this kind of thing about them? Can you say this about Mitt Romney
No.
or John McCain? Can you say it about Richard Nixon? It's unprecedented, and it's like it doesn't matter to most Republican voters. That's terrifying.
You know, here's another thing before we go to the phone lines. And Dr. Craig, if Republicans want to win, they need Trump to lose big. Accepting his party's nomination in 1984, Democrat Walter Mondale vowed to cut the deficit with a memorable line about tough medicine either he or Ronald Reagan would have to administer to the country. Let's tell the truth, Mondale said. Mr. Reagan will raise taxes, and so will I. He won't just tell you that. I just did. Now, as Labor Day marks the final stretch of another presidential campaign, it's time for another round of truth-telling. The best outcome in November for the future of the Republican Party is for former President Donald Trump to lose and lose soundly. GOP leaders won't tell you that on the record. I just did. Trump will never concede defeat, no matter how thorough his loss. Yet the more decisively Vice President Kamala Harris wins the popular vote and electoral college, the less political oxygen he'll have to reprise his 2020 antics. And importantly, the faster Republicans can begin building a post-Trump party. You say what to that, Dr. Craig?
That makes a lot of sense, because you have to hit Republicans. We know Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham have reversed themselves because they're all about power.
Right.
You have to hit them where it hurts, and that's in you deny them power, right? So Donald Trump's already been a loser for them in the 2018 midterms, 2020, the 2022 midterms. It needs to happen more decisively, though. And the worst scenario is it's very close, because then the shenanigans he and his allies are trying to pull, like messing with election certification in Georgia, if it comes down to Georgia, we don't know if because of the appointment of this Trump-centered election commission, whether the actual legitimate vote of the people will be certified, creating a constitutional crisis. And that could happen in other states. So a very close margin of loss is potentially a constitutional crisis, and a larger margin of loss is going to discredit Trump finally and make him unviable finally within the Republican Party. It'll be interesting to see what will rise up. I mean, maybe be careful what we ask for, because there's another more sane, more effective Trump ready to take over this base, then they're back in business.
Like J.D.
So
Vance, maybe.
Solve the whole problem, but it helps a lot to get Donald Trump out of the way, and maybe it starts in this debate.
You know,
and hopefully there will be live microphones, because quite wisely, the Harris-Waltz campaign strategy is to let him hang himself. And of course, the open mics will help do that.
You know, Dr. Craig, it really does not. I mean, you're not changing any people who are voting Democrat or any people who are voting Republican. That small sliver that everybody's fighting for, they're the ones, I guess, waiting to hear an I got your moment. For the life of me, and even that small sliver, because the Green Party folk are still going Green Party. They don't want to hear anything else. I don't know what they're looking to prove. They have a right in this country. You have a right to vote for whomever you want to vote for. But you're not going to be able to convince the people who are going to be voting for Jill Stein that, hey, you know, you could be the reason that Donald Trump gets reelected. And I don't know what it takes. You know, I know a couple of people who are Green Party people, and they believe thoroughly in what it is they're saying and doing. There's not a whole lot you can do to change their minds.
Yeah, that's a tiny percentage of the vote. It's just when it's virtually a tie, you know, the 0.5% that'll vote for Jill Stein can make a difference in a key state. But let's face it, that's partly why Harris-Waltz needs to win by a large enough margin that the Green Party can't matter.
But do you see
but
that?
It's not only, I don't think it's only this persuadable middle. And, you know, I've been in focus groups when you're behind the one-way mirror and
right.
Watching these people. These are confounding people. I mean, the media exalts them as somehow making some big policy decision. No, they're a lot of them are just incoherent and hold contradictory views. The nice word for it is cross-pressured. And it's not. You know, I'm kind of sick of the news media making them into some sort of deliberative public that is making some expert decision about the policies. They say that they don't like, for example, this is on CNN all the time and other mainstream media, ABC, CBS. They have, you know, that the public doesn't like Biden's economic policies. This public that's deciding doesn't know his economic
right.
policies. They just know they don't like the inflation, and they're mad at him because he's the incumbent. There is no analysis of policies, because if you do a poll with the policies, they like them, okay? So, but the media plays this game of making this something it's not. But here's why the debate matters beyond that group of people, and that is it excites the two bases. So if our base can be excited by how well Kamala Harris does, or by outrageous things Trump says to agitate key constituencies and make them vote in higher margins. We have something terrible about trans people that turns out the LGBTQ plus vote, right? And then it can demoralize their side if Trump looks like, let's lose a word he likes to use for other people, if Trump looks like a loser.
Let's go to Gene from McClure. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for discussing this subject, because I've been really concerned in my area here, because I've been really seeing the horrifying, disgusting ads that they're putting up against Tammy Baldwin. And see, I know that, you know, now they're using the same one that Ron Johnson used against Mandela
Barnes.
Yeah,
they are.
That accident. And then there's another one that just came up. And when, now I use a lot of Roku, and in my area, because we don't have good internet service, and I can get things on that better than I can on an internet, you know, like a device. But anyway, every single thing I click on, they have these disgusting ads of Tammy Baldwin in my area, and it's just, you know, and you can't turn it off. You know, like I'll try to get out of there, or I'll click on there, or I'll lower the stars that they get, or whatever, and it's just sickening. And there's one they have about some woman that she's associated with, and she's a millionaire. Oh, it's just sick. And I'm thinking to myself, they need to go after this Hovde, the carpetbagger. I have a friend of mine who said what they need to do is put a picture of Eric Hovde and then put a stamp on it, say, carpetbagger, carpetbagger, carpetbagger. I mean, they need quick ads to get across what this guy is as fast as they can, because pretty soon people are going to turn down their voice on their TVs, and they're going to see the ugly pictures and the ugliness they're doing to Tammy, and they need to see that double ugliness that they're getting from the carpetbagger. So anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, but thanks, you guys. Keep up the great work.
Hey Gene, always
educated.
Always great to hear from you. You know, Dr. Craig, you heard Gene.
Yeah.
They're using the stuff they used against Mandela. They're using the same stuff. Same playbook.
Interestingly enough, Gene is seeing more of the spending than people who just watch TV. Do you know, Earl, that 80% of the spending in this presidential election is digital and not broadcast?
Oh, really?
Television? Yes. So when she is turning on her digital and they're serving up all those ads, that's where more of the spending is. And corporate media, big tech, are getting rich off these. Remember that. And remember, when media companies that have news departments, when you have the distinguished journalists who claim to be balanced, well, what pays their salaries, allowing this trash on the airwaves with no regulation? I do like, I don't know if she'll have enough rotation, Tammy's ads, which are themed, what is wrong with this guy, where they'll have something outrageous about Eric Hovde, including his carpetbagger status and him being the citizen of the year in Orange County. And the ad, who is this guy?
All right, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
down to paradise. At least it's not for me. If the wind is right, you can sail away and find tranquility. Oh, the canvas can do miracles. Just you wait and see. Neverland, a reason to pretend. And if the wind is right, you can find the joy of innocence again. Oh, the candles can do miracles. Just you wait and see. Believe me.
All right, and welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. This morning, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. So Dr. Craig, as excited as we are and have been, and in many instances continue to be, and as much as we want this to be over, and we want Kamala Harris and Tim Wise to win this, watching him at Labor Fest speak, Dr. Craig, you just say, that's the guy. That's what we need. That's what our nation needs to heal. Even in the face of that, those people moving around on Labor Day, the Democrats organizing and working with labor, Donald Trump, and Vance sitting it out during Labor Day because they don't see that as something that's important to them. And yet people, unfortunately, in labor, many of them vote Republican. I sometimes, Dr. Craig, I just don't know how this thing flies, but I am worried, as you always say, don't take anything for granted. This is a protracted struggle. This is going down to the wire. Don't believe in any of the things you're hearing.
Yeah, it's the Packers, Vikings, Packers, Lions, or Packers, Bears, if the Bears are as much better as people think they might be right with their new quarterback, that you got to keep fighting tooth and nail to the end or you're going to lose, right? It's going to be nip and tuck. And so what's nice about Tim Walz, first, there were a lot of pundits who critiqued it and didn't think he was from a battleground state and what did he bring. And he was the most progressive of the finalists. So everyone that I work with and our members are happy about that. But what he brings is he brings a much more human and loving version of masculinity. Labor Fest is full of testosterone, as you know, Earl. The building trades are there, the manufacturing unions. And what the Trump side is trying to do, and this is a strategy, is to get people, especially young men, on this kind of toxic masculinity where men are losing out and you don't have your prerogatives anymore, not rule your household, and you don't get as good of jobs or much opportunity as women get. They're playing on this kind of traditional role of the man and men under siege, right? And you see it, Tim Walz is a very different, a very masculine guy in traditional ways, a former football coach, a gun owner, someone who was in the National Reserve for 24 years, best shot in Congress, all of that. And he's actually caring and wants to have an inclusive society that welcomes people in and actually shares all of the great benefits of our society and all of the economic growth we all produce equally, and takes on real issues like the cost of housing, the cost of healthcare, the cost of childcare, and the climate crisis. You can be a man and do all of that. In fact, you're more of a man than the Donald Trump, Josh Hawley. Remember, he wrote that book on masculinity.
Right.
And J.D. Vance's version of manhood, that's not a real man. That is a threatened kind of, not the kind of man we should want. Not a real man, a fake real man.
You know, Dr. Craig, and another side of of Tim Walz that is so humanistic is the fact that he's raising a son that's disabled with disabilities. And you saw how Republicans handled that. Right.
You saw Jay Weber handle
that. Yeah, they made mockery of
it over the years.
Yes, they've made mockery of it. And part of raising a disabled child, I know, or a young person, I'm raising one and have been for 21 years, is there's a humanistic part of that. And that comes out. And so Tim Walz brings that folksy kind of thing, Dr. Craig, to a political fight that is normally Madison Avenue. But he can bring that natural folksy kind of thing out that doesn't intimidate people who are sick and tired of the Madison Avenue political fight.
You know, there's a group of evangelicals that are organizing for Harris and trying to reverse the trend of evangelical Christians voting for such an unchristian man as right. Donald Trump. And they say that what appeals to the evangelicals who are open and listen is the lack of kindness on Donald Trump, a fundamental Christian virtue, the things that Jesus actually talked about that came from his mouth in the scriptures. And their response on Tim Walz, his kid, was some of them, well, oh, we didn't know he was disabled.
I know.
I'm sorry. He's a kid. It doesn't matter. It's cruel. And you as an adult, as some big talk show host or Fox News personality, ought to stop bashing kids and making fun of them for earnest emotion. And they're saying, I'm not going to use the words they used, Earl. They're foul and offensive. But I'm going to say that they were attacking him for not being man enough because he showed emotion on the stage. We don't need that kind of manhood. And look how Tim Walz can seem very manly, but also show emotion and human love and compassion.
Dr. Craig, always great to talk to you. We'll see you again next week. Up next, Greg Bott, filling in for Jane Matinier. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back later on at 4 o'clock. I'll be in the slot, Civic Media today and tomorrow. So listen for me. Talk to you guys later.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey everybody, join us on a hump day edition next time. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, plus your phone calls. Be here.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.